Okay, we're finishing off the subject of Ava Shetliya B'Davar. We're on page Resh Lamed Gimel. We'll be finishing up Perikov phase in this lesson, hopefully. And again, the idea that the Tzaddik is repeating over and over is the idea that Ava Shetliya B'Davar, something that's finite and physical, will not last forever. And is part of the oneness of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something that always exists. To reach that level, to uncover the layers of soul, for a person to appreciate that, is something that's impossible in this physical world under your own efforts alone, but it must have the help of Hashem. And as the Mesil Shurim says, the beginning of this avoda is work, great work, but an effort. But the end is a gift from Hashem. So in the middle of page Reish Lamed Gimel, Achshuv Aleinu Lizkor. But now we have to remind ourselves and to mention again, Madrega Zuhi Madrega Gavoh Ma'od. This level is a very high level. V'menakudas Hatachdonas Nalamos. And if the lower points are missing, but a Minasa Lachdor like Yelam, first wants to bypass the lower levels and get to this higher level. Darko lo tislach, he will not be successful. Yesham nam yechidim hamasugalim lahachzik sham maimed. There's some unique individuals who are able to grab such a unique station in life. But aval imlo, but if not, you know, zen nisayin lefroch bavir. Otherwise, it's a test of trying to fly in the air and create something in the air which isn't going to be. And you're trying to fly, but umiyode ech umasai tovo hahitz raskus. Who knows when the destruction comes, where you're going to fall back to the other levels and the whole thing will get messed up. So you've got to go in the normal order to achieve this. Don't say, well, I'll just go right to the neshama. It doesn't happen that way. You've got to develop all the different levels, including love that does depend on something, till you can get to this one. What really has to happen is you have to have a great yearning, a clear and great yearning to reach this high level. Ach beferish, but explicitly, ein zu tchilas avoda. It's not the beginning of the avoda. As many great Bali Musar say, if you don't have a she'ifa for greatness, if you don't have a yearning to be great, you won't end up doing anything. If you don't strive for an A, you won't even get a C. Right? So this is what we should be striving for. This is what our hopes are. And one day, when we go through enough levels, we will get there. But that's not the beginning. Well, you're talking about Mitzias, She'odim Yargish, Esadvorim, Kozman, Shuziki, Chazatzma, B'derech Shechanu, Ko, Adachshov. It's not possible for a person to feel and reach these levels as long as he hasn't purified himself on the path that we've had until now, the Haina, which are the steps that have been the basic outline of the entire Sefer, which he repeats very quickly. Aleph. First, you have to have Amunah Pshuta Sheish Bar Yolam. You have to have simple faith. They can feel that there is a creator. And you have to try to feel that reality with him being with us right next to us, which was the second step that he's combined into one. Then base emuna bashkachas pratis, belief in the divine supervision of Hashem. Gimel tefila kol prat, prayer on every detail. And dalet avat liyid bodover, a love that depends on something. Which in the first volume, when he got to love, he said it very briefly, and now he's gone into much more detail. And then, when you come to these four under your belt, then we'll get to the love that doesn't depend on anything. Zachare shonam over es kolam ahalachazeh. When a person goes through this whole pathway, from adregas atachton shalom yisedes bitzur b'diyo, and the lower steps, the lower levels, are thoroughly grounded and built up with the person, then as vaday tikena samhalach shenikra masige haguf, then you have prepared at least to a certain degree the pathway that we can call masige haguf. Masige haguf means which is reachable for a person, which is attainable for a person. Maybe you can reach to a certain level this avisha ein l'tluy b'davar if you've worked on all these other things. And maybe it's possible you could reach a level where the soul shines within the person, the body doesn't disturb it so much. But if the body isn't corrected, It's got to be. It's going to pull the soul after the body. Sometimes the body wins. Sometimes the soul wins. And it's going to be one of those very difficult battles that we have to go through all our lives. Avol, next page. Zoi Mulchama Kasha. This is a very, very hard war. As the Mesillas Yesharim calls it in his first chapter of the book. And it's forbidden for a person to get to such a battle. As we daven every morning, Hashem, you shouldn't bring me to that of tests. And if you're trying to jump right into the highest levels, well, you know, your ava, your love is very subjective to your whims. And, you know, you can fall when all kinds of tests come. So he's saying the most bitter war is going to be if you're going to try to hit the highest level right away. Those are the fiercest war. You got enough wars even on the lower levels. Even on the lower levels to love Hashem for a reason. There's plenty of war. Go to love Him for no reason. You know, that's going to be a war that you're not going to be able to win. Tzarech lidroch b'tzura miyusedes kefish v'yarin. A person has to go on the path that we've described. Umikan ve'elech, and from this point on, if you've done everything we said, mishazachal agia, someone who merits to reach it, yesh l'nasos likonese olam shalavas Hashem shein tlu b'dover. Then try for this highest level of love that doesn't depend on anything. Liches ach v'rakim rabbein shalom, to live only with Hashem. Shezeh yadover ayochet b'chaim, and that's the only thing that your life's all about. Umavadze lo yeh lo shum esek v'shum masa matan acher rakim rabbein shalom be'etzem. And besides that, you have no business with anything else in this world except for Hashem, essentially. Even though you're involved in the world. But you don't take it seriously. You don't take it seriously. You take only one thing seriously. How close are you to Hashem? How close are you to Hashem when you're working? How close are you to Hashem when you're eating, etc., etc.? That's the only thing that really matters to you in your life. It's known that there are great tzaddikim who testified on themselves that their love for the Jews was on this level. Shabaosa mida sha'avos b'neim, on the same level they love their children, kach avu es kol kenes Yisrael. They love the entire Jewish people, kol ish v'ish v'Yisrael. They love each and every single Jew. There were such tzaddikim who were on that level, but not a lot. Echi talking to them, is how's it possible? How's it possible to love a stranger more than you love your child? Or equal to you loving your child. But this is what we've been saying. What? The love that a person has for his son. So that's a love that's rooted in his essence, the deepest part of himself. And it's based from your body. It's a body love for a child, basic body love. When you get out of the body and get into the soul, it's going to be, you're going to find a different reality of love. Not only is it a different essence of love, but the reasons for it change. The reasons for love in the world of physicality, those are all the physical reasons based on certain physical circumstances, which can come and go. Right? You love somebody, they need something to hurt you, you don't love them anymore. But vasibas la'ava, mitzaro ava ruchanis, but love, the causes for love from a spiritual point of view, spiritual love, heimachtmas achtus anashom, it comes from the unity of the soul. It's of the level of Hashem and the Torah and Jewish people are one. Same ha'adam be'emes, higi alavas Hashem shein t'lui, but if a person truly reaches a love that doesn't depend on anything, so what happens? He is truly at one with Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people. Then it has to be its true love of other Jews. And then there's no distinction between any types of Jews. Because it's one. And that oneness, not only said about Hashem being one, it's also said about the Jewish people. We're one mamish neshama. If you're one with Hashem, that's how you are with the Jewish people. Mamela, consequently, this is the proof. If you only feel love for Hashem, without a true love of the Jews, If you think you're in the world of love without a reason, you should know you're living in the world of dreams. You're living in the world of dreams. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov says. That's the test. How do you know you love Hashem, and Hashem loves you, and it doesn't depend on anything? If you love Jews who have been bad to you. That's all. If you still love them. Because if you love someone, then you love the one who they love also. And Hashem loves all Jews. He's inseparable from Jews. You know, people who do a lot of bad things, he still loves them. He's still his kid. He loves them. If you can't love who somebody else loves, then you really don't love that person. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. Klaimer, meaning to say, Machshavto shu'nimtzu b'mahalach shel av she'en tluy b'dover, his thoughts, that he thinks he's going on the path of love that doesn't depend on anything, Reish Lamed Hei, he b'derech dimin, it's all imagination. You're fooling yourself. Angel Ava to leave it over. It's really only a love that depends on something. And with this type of love, it's possible to have a love of the Creator without loving created people. Why? Because the love is only directed towards whom he receives from. Because he's receiving from Hashem now. Looking on from created people he hasn't received. So that's why he loves Hashem. He doesn't love other people. So again, like in every level, there's always the acid test. Have you got the level or not? So this is the acid test of the level. If you love everybody, it's no question, no matter what they've done to you. Yeah?
I want to go back a second to the statement you made. You said that basically to strive to this level, you shouldn't be taking the world very seriously.
No. When you'll be on this level, you won't take the world too seriously.
So one question that keeps bothering me...
The physical world,
right,
too seriously,
right.
Obviously.
So even though you're going to be focusing on loving Hashem and realizing that's the top priority, if you're not giving similar... Let's put it this way. The same way that, we just had Rachel and Leah. Leah felt hated because, Yaakov wasn't giving the same attention. So let's say your primary, you're giving all your attention to Hashem, and you're neglecting your wife, your children.
You can't be neglecting your wife because she's who Hashem loves. You're not going to neglect other people.
No, but let's say push comes to shove. You're in a scenario where you have to make a decision. Am I going to go daven mincha with a minyan? Or my child, who's just had a crisis, just came home and I have to speak to them right now. You say, look, I know it's a crisis. I know you might jump off a building, but I got to go to mincha. You know what I'm saying?
So Hashem gives you priorities, and you follow the priorities that Hashem says, and it's not a hassle. The rules are already there. And the Torah says what you do under every circumstance. That's the whole idea of precedence and mitzvahs. As Tzidok Halosa say, there is Hashem has given us the guidance what things you should do before other things that you have to do. Not every crisis that the kid thinks is a crisis is a crisis. And most crises can wait 20 minutes till mincha's over. And a child has to learn that too. It's part of what a child has to learn. Now, if somebody's dying, then Hashem says, don't daven. Person's dying. Person doesn't have to struggle too much. It's pretty, if you're one with Hashem and Torah and the Jewish people, then the decisions flow automatically. A person like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach didn't have to think twice what to do when a situation came. It was all in his bones. He had the whole picture in front of him. He doesn't have to think very long and hard, because when it's all one, it's very obvious what you do. When it's not one, it's not very obvious what you do. You really, don't care to have mincha that much anyway, but you got to do it. And you care about your kid more than you care about mincha. Right? So then, what I'm saying? But a tzaddik, on this level, it's all one. Whatever he does is going to be a good decision. And once you have the oneness, you know where the priorities are. So you're not ignoring the world. You're not ignoring the world. You're saying, okay, I see my son's in crisis. I have to deal with it. But mincha, it's the last time for mincha. It's 4:30. If I don't have a mincha now, I don't have a minyan. I don't have mincha. That takes priority. My son's life is not in danger. They check it out. No, he's not in danger. He's just crying terribly because some bullies beat him up. Okay, fine. Part of learning to be a kid is you don't get everything you addressed right away.
Right.
That's also part of growing up. You know, the problem is the kid that has to get immediate attention also needs to have cell phones, because everything's got to be immediate.
No, but let's say I don't want to give an exact example, but let's say there is a situation where you got to deal with it. It's not life and death, but you, you go to Mincha and the message that you send your kid or your spouse or whoever it is that, you know, you are secondary to godly things. You know what I'm saying? It can be
I feel terrible what's happening, and we're going to have a long talk about it, but you know, Hashem, we all have to daven Mincha, and this is what I have to do now. We love Hashem, and Hashem is the one who's going to take care of your problem. I'm going to daven to Hashem that we can take care of your problem. Mm-hmm. Then the kid, and then you come back and talk to him for an hour. He doesn't feel like he's been abandoned. If you go to Mincha, you don't come back. You don't come back till the next day. Then that's a problem. But anybody, if you say, you know, I tell people have urgent to meet with me. I say, you know what? I got 3 other emergencies. I'm really sorry. I'll get to you as soon as I can. Hopefully tonight, maybe tomorrow morning. I'm not talking about someone died in the family. You know, people have things on their mind. It's already an emergency. You know, everything's an emergency. Everything's time sensitive. 99% aren't so time sensitive. There are some that are. And that becomes the priority. Just like in an emergency room doctor. Right? You don't like the other people? This guy's got a heart attack. You got a broken leg. So you know what? I'm really sorry. You know, hopefully, and you teach these other people, you know, that, you know, you can only be in one place at one time. I love you very much, and we love Hashem, and we know we got to daven Mincha. I'm going to daven Mincha. I'm going to come back. I'm going to, or whatever the situation is. Yeah, you know, your wife calls you, she's frantic, right? So you say, dear, I'll be home as soon as I can. We'll take care of it. I'm in the middle of something that I can't stop, you know. And like certain things, like, you know, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, right? He was a big tzaddik who lived in the turn of the 20th century, right? He was dealt in furs, right? But he knew one thing. Learning Torah comes number one. He had a Seder. I forgot exactly when it was. He had a Seder during the day. He never broke that Seder, ever. Right? He had a Seder of the house, right? So these guys from out of town are coming, and they're saying, listen, a boat just arrived. The Chinese came, and there was an order that fell through, and they're willing to sell him furs at a ridiculously low price. They come to the wife. The wife is the guard, gatekeeper. We have to speak to him. He says, listen, not till whatever, 11 o'clock. He doesn't see anybody for anything. So, well, I guess he's going to lose all this business, right? So the wife just, you know, figured, oh, this is a big deal. So maybe she'll go to the husband. Dear, I hate to disturb you, but very important. You can make a lot of money. He said, I told you not to bother me, not even for this. And that's it. Finished. And there's sometimes where he would lose the money. Sometimes they came back and say he made 3 times the money because things got worse for the other people. They became more desperate and he got a better deal. But it's not even an issue. It's not an issue. By us, I mean, to the life of me, you know, you come to davening with a cell phone on you. You know, where is your head? Where is your head? You know, that thing's going to go off, and almost every day someone's damn cell phone goes off. You know? And like, well, you know, what can I do? What can you do? You don't care. That's all there is to it. If you have priorities, you realize you don't bring it into this room. What could be the emergency room? Right? But what does happen every davening, the cell phone goes off. That we know for sure happens. Because why? We have to take it with us. So we're conflicted people. What if I miss a call? You're not going to miss anything so important. You know what you're missing? You're missing is that the davening isn't the way it should be. But what if someone got an accident? You'll find out 10 minutes later. But no, if I don't know, if the immediate time, it's not going to work out. There is a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. Rabbeinu Shalom wants you to daven with Kavanah. That's all. So if you're one with Hashem and you're one with everybody, you don't take the cell phone so seriously. People take their cell phones way too seriously. Their Blackberries way too seriously. You know, you have it. Fine, if you have to have it. From the time I come here, whatever, at 6 a.m., it's in the car. I don't have to take it with me. When I come back at 8 o'clock, then we can deal with it if I need to deal with it. That you're in control. It's not that important. This ad is, the phone, I have to leave because it could ring. It could be my boss. Your boss is up there, man. Make sure you're listening to what that boss is telling you to do. Right? So that's when the conflict is. If there's you're one with Hashem, there's no conflict. There's no conflict. You don't take a lot of things too seriously. Okay? And that changes everything. That changes everything. You know, I've not yet had a problem because I didn't have the cell phone. I haven't yet, I didn't chas v'shalom die. And I didn't chas v'shalom, like, my life is terrible that I'm totally, traumatized from the fact that I didn't have a cell phone to deal with it. You know, so, Baruch Hashem, things have been okay. Okay, I'm not saying sometimes you have to have it for your job. Your momish have to have it. They have to call you from the car. You're going from place to place. You do appointments. Okay, but you control it. It doesn't control you. And that's a priority. That's a priority. So I don't see where a person is going to. Tzaddikim were able to do this, but they were able to do it because they made sure not to tie themselves up with all these narishkeiten that one doesn't have to tie themselves up with. So that's the difference. I don't know if that answered the question. Did it answer the question? Yeah? Okay. Anyway. But once you become totally included within the Creator, who megales atzo, he reveals himself. The part of the neshama that is oneness with Hashem. Then he has to reveal at the same time the unity with the Jewish people. Certainly the concept of oneness with Hashem has a greater depth. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. But it's not a concept of intellectual explanations here. It's a question of how deep can the neshama recognize its unity with Hashem. To the degree that that unity is recognized in the depths of the soul, so too is greater the connection with Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Hashem should help us that we should merit to be this close to Hashem and have that in the Nachas Ruach. Okay, that ends chapter 22. What happens now in chapter... Yes, ma'am. How should you feel to the secular Israeli government? You have to look. I don't need examples. There's too many things they're doing that is just incredibly, incredibly detrimental for the Jewish people and anti-Semitic in its most blatant way. I mean, there would not have been a Mumbai, most likely, if it wasn't for this Israeli government. The Israeli government was telling the whole world, Jewish blood is cheap. We don't defend Jewish blood. We don't care about Jews. That's what they're telling everybody. We're releasing how many terrorists? And only the ones that didn't have blood on their hands, literally. I mean, that was their nusach, right? Not guys who succeeded in mamish killing. Only, blew up and injured people. And we caught them a second before they're going to blow up 10,000 people. So let them go and release a quarter million, 25 million dollars to the Hamas. So the Israeli government says Jewish blood is cheap. You expect the terrorists? They say it's open season. So what do you have to understand? You have to understand, A, what they're doing is terrible. And you hate what they're doing. And some of them, Taka, are in the getter of a Russia. Some of them, most of them, are in the getter of Rishoyim Mamish. That if you had a base of English, you could kill them. Because they are putting lives in danger. It's without a shiloh.
They're still Jews.
Right? But you have to realize, it's all the shlich of Hashem.
Well, that's right. I understand, but what are we supposed to feel towards them in terms of loving? That's the only thing I'm asking.
You know, there are certain Jews, the Rambam says you have to hate them. They have done what they've done. They are destroying, what about a Macy's? A Macy, someone who is instigating people away from Yiddishkeit. You have to hate him. Because you know why? He hates God. And Hashem hates him. There are certain people. I mean, what we're talking about is, what we're talking about is, you know, someone in shul, you got in a fight with someone in shul. Got in a shul, he wanted an aliyah, you didn't get an aliyah, he doesn't give you that, he insulted you. He's basically a good guy. Okay, he did something wrong. You know, these people, they're rishoyim mamish. They're ganovim, they're rishoyim, they're mezana, they're every center of the book, and they deny God's reality in Eretz Yisrael. These are, you know, very misguided, but big rishoyim. But you know what? It doesn't pay to think so much. Don't waste energy on hating them. There's nothing to waste. You make it your business. There's nothing. They are not part of the Jewish people. They have taken themselves out. They are anti-Klal Yisrael. You have to daven that Hashem should put them on the right path. But right now you have to treat them as an enemy of God. And what do you do when it's an enemy of God? You try to get them out of office. You try to do what you can. But at the end of the day, I mean, you have to realize it's just the stick. It's just the stick from Hashem. Right? And don't get angry over them. It doesn't pay to waste your energy on getting angry over them. I see so many people, they're spending all their energy getting angry. And so many, you know, they're sending me more emails. We already know. What are you going to show me that I don't know about this government already? And they keep sending me emails. Did you see what they did? I said, listen, whatever you're going to show me is going to surprise me. But I say to them, what are you doing to stop it? What are you doing to do your own personal tshuva? That I don't see any emails. Your own personal tshuva to take away the gzeira that Hashem is bringing. I mean, this is getting very scary, what's going on over here. I don't know if people have realized. Forget about Israel now. What was with this last guy, defrauded people for billions? What was his name?
Oh, from the Jewish...
Madoff.
Bernard Madoff.
It's incredible. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm a very naive kind of guy. I'm too trusting of people. This guy, I'm talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. You know, he was supposed to be a reputable broker, whatever, investor, whatever he is. He's got, you know, he gives people on paper, he tells them, oh, you're doing so good, you're doing so good. Meanwhile, he's stealing all this money and he's destroying people. And it's not having stam. It's not having stam. We're already in a deep recession now. I mean, this is not like a joke now. The big three are teetering, right? The banks are finished, right? I mean, this is like serious business, right? And now, you know, on a nice day when the economy is okay, you can take one of these guys, right? But the economy ain't doing, and it's like every couple of weeks, Hashem's doing another one. It's like too many in one time. I mean, you know, you see Hashem is heading, you know, who knows what his eventual plan is. He can collapse the entire economy. The interest rate in the States is zero. I think they said zero.
Yeah.
He says, never been like that way. It's like, never been that way. I mean, this is called deep crisis. It's like, and yet, everybody's going on vacation. Everybody's going, I talked to three different people. We're going to Cancun. We're going to Mexico. We're going here. But, you know, it's like, let's enjoy one more before we lose every penny we got. You know, that's what people feel. You know, no one's doing anything to stop. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, definitely something's going on. I mean, you know, and we're just ignoring it all. Everybody's still with their petty worries and, you know, and see, people are still shopping for Christmas like there's no tomorrow. Unbelievable. The stores are still very crowded from what I'm hearing, right? They're very crowded. They think it's going to be business as usual. Like, I don't know what would happen now if there will be a depression now. You know, people wouldn't be able to take it. Blogs, on these sites, that it's all the Jews' fault already. It's already the Jews' fault. And that won't take very much convincing to your nice goyim that you work for or whoever that, you know, it's not the Jews' fault. Because they're going to get angry. They're not going to have their trips to Bermuda and they can't have all, you know, 27 varieties of bread, you know, in the store. Like it's, can you imagine when that's going to stop? And when all you're going to get is, you know, one loaf of bread from the government and just plain white bread? People will go bananas. They won't be able to take this. What do you mean? No vacation again? It's like, I can't live. It's like, to work for it. So something's going on. And, you know, we got to be more focused on that. But anyway, so back to the Israeli government. What are you wasting your time hating them?
That's
you know,
it's
but should you love them?
Like, should we love them? That's
listen, they are your opponents. They are the enemy. They're the enemy of Hashem. You hate them only for one reason, because they're hating Hashem. Hashem wants Jewish people to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, if you're having trouble going there for certain reasons, Hashem can understand it. But to go and throw Jews out like that, you know, this is, you know, is not good. And it's unbelievable. Haredim have nothing to say about this. Doesn't bother them at all. It's like, you know, even if you don't agree everything with what the religious Zionists are doing, okay, you have certain, but at least you should get up and say you don't beat people. You don't throw people out of houses. You know, certain things you don't release terrorists. I mean, goodwill. What goodwill is there? Yeah, a lot of goodwill for the Arabs. You want to show how much you love the Arabs because they have a whole new attitude. This government has a whole new attitude. It is not Medinat Yisrael. It is Medinat HaEzrachim. It's a country of the citizens. It's not a Jewish state. This is their philosophy. It is not a Jewish state. Now, of course, you know this is what Hashem's, this is Hashem's plan. Because all the people who got swept away 50 years ago with the Zionist, 60 years ago, 70 years ago with the Zionistic dream, to say, you see, it was a bunch of hooey to begin with. None of them even cared about Yiddishkeit to begin with. And now the emes, what the Gedolim were screaming about 70 years ago. You know, and when finally the NRP and the Mizrahi would finally get it through their heads, they still have bitachon in the government system. You know, and that is a fault on their part. They're put, and that is what Hashem is, they're the ones getting the Musar right now. Different chevers get different Musar at different times. Okay, the Haredim aren't excluded from their Musar. But there's their Musar. These are not your bedfellows. Get out of bed with these guys. And you should have been with the Haredim fighting them head, you know, tooth and nail 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And, you know, and not letting it get to this point. And this is not, these are your friends? You put your bitachon in them? These are not people you should go to bed with. And Hashem has to make it so clear. And he has to make it so clear till finally the religious Zionists are going to say, the hell with this government. And we only can mamish, only, it was again, it's like, I'm not chaser shalom, I'm a big boteach b'Hashem, these people. A lot of them really are. But certain things they did, you can't do. You know, certain, you know, frum guys going to the army in areas where, you know, parts of the army they shouldn't be, they shouldn't have been there. You know, somebody says, oh, I could be with the regular troops. You know, you can't. You can't be with the women. You can't. But they kind of, you know, a blind eye. There are other times you have parts of the Mizrahi that are good, that are the, you know, only Haredi. But, you know, certain things they don't make a big deal about. You know, okay, we'll be fighting next to women over here. You know, you're compromising Yiddishkeit for this. And they didn't make a big, but you know, we gotta show we're good citizens. So I'm gonna show you how they treat good citizens. You know, you're going to have to throw out your own kid from your house. And then they're going to throw you out from your own house. So I must make it clear. These are Rishoyim Gemurim. I remember, Rosh Yeshiva, he got up in 77. In 77, remember Rosh Yeshiva said? He said it straight. He says that the Jews are Nazis. He says, Merzogt Yidden is Nazis. Merzogt Yidden is Nazis. And this is the emes. Those Yidden are richtige Nazis. Rosh Yeshiva said these secular Israelis are Nazis. He said in 77, and they are. They are. They're like Nazis.
As bad as they are,
no.
I disagree with you. They are not Nazis.
They are Marxist,
Nazis.
Fascist, and there's no democracy in the government. They take property away from people without any
Nazis,
law and order. They don't believe in Hashem. Nazis
true.
Are better. Nazis
That's
believe
true.
In Hashem.
That's true. Well,
then I'm just saying the hatred and the things they did. You're going to tell me someone who takes a Taimani woman's kid from them and tell them that he died and take him away and put him in a coma. It's not a Nazi. That's no different than what the medical experience did on the kids.
No, to make a general statement.
That ilk, that certain
no,
ilk,
somebody does something
not
like that,
somebody, I'm yes. sorry, it's yes. not somebody. It's that whole block, that whole secular Israeli mentality of, you know, no religion, no this. They stopped at nothing to get what they want. They assassinated people, Jews who opposed them. They murdered them.
I agree.
Okay? And that's, nothing will stop our dream.
No, but even
okay? And what did the Nazis do? We have a fatherland. It was just a different thing you worshipped. That's all. They said, there's the fatherland, Nazi supremacy, so that, and you can do anything for that. So the state, you can do anything, including 100,000 Hungarian Jews get gassed, and we don't save them, it's Nazis. That's all. They're Nazis without the ability the Nazis had. That's all. And now that they have the ability, they don't care. I don't understand. 2,500 terrorists that will turn around and kill your children. Let them go. That's what they are. Let's not. You've got to be honest with them.
Who sits in the government?
They're trying to fight them.
Who?
I don't care. I'm not saying they're right.
I'm
not saying they're right. And that's why they got to get. They're going to be punished for aligning with them too.
No, but the only comment I want to make is I don't disagree with what you said because it's a fact of history. But in today's
painful fact, it's a painful fact to think that Jews could do it to Jews.
In today's state, calling. First of all, the people that are the way you describe them are a minority.
They're running the government.
Who live in Israel.
And you know what? I'm sorry. The majority are very happy to see it happen. The majority are very happy to see the settlers vilified and demonized.
That's not accurate.
And it is, because there's nobody going to the streets to stop this. This is common, basic human right violations that nobody cares about. This is not normal. In Sderot, it's already 10,000, things have hit them. Nobody, besides a handful, care about it, and those who care are carted off into jail.
Let me ask you something.
Carted off into jail.
Would you characterize the Toronto community that we care about these things?
Don't care about either. At least.
We don't go to the streets.
You know what? At least. It's a problem. It's a major problem.
But
at least it's not in your door. It's not in your doorstep.
Yeah.
Here's Mamish in your doorstep.
I'm just telling you, there's a paralysis amongst the people.
Okay.
That does not mean that they don't.
You're right. So guess what? Most of the Germans were paralyzed too. We're just following orders. We're just following orders. There should be in Israel, there should be anarchy. Should be people going to the streets and saying,
be.
This is not proper. No, whatever they say, what can you do? We have to support the government. Even when the rabbis say, we can't go against the government.
Yeah, but all I'm saying, I just
want
to go
and you dare say anything against the government, they throw you in jail.
But I just
and they'll beat you.
To an earlier statement that you said that, I don't know who you were referring to, are Nazis, that to make a statement like that, is really a huge statement.
When okay, so when Rav Mordechai Gifter, when Rav Mordechai Gifter, who has forgotten more Torah than you'll ever learn, who learned in Europe, he was on the, what do you call it, the Moetzes Gedolei Torah, he says they're Nazis, then he knows what he's talking about.
That's his opinion.
No, I'm sorry. When you say that's his opinion, you have no right to say that's his opinion.
No, but I'll tell you.
You have no right to say that's his opinion.
The Nazis were dedicated to exterminating the Jewish people.
Exactly! And the secular Israelis were dedicated, the leaders were dedicated to exterminate religion from Yiddishkeit. They were dedicated for it. That's the same thing! It's the same thing! You're taking away the neshama!
But it's different.
You saying it's different. You don't have the eyes of Torah. You got to admit, you're totally out of your league to comment
here.
Out of your league. You don't realize, chasam, you don't realize how much chutzpah you're having to do. You don't realize it because everybody has an opinion nowadays. But for you to say opinion when a god like this is talking, you sit in awe and accept. And everything he said, and we were going 77, and he's playing it out. They don't care. They'll do what they can to get their agenda, as cruel and as inhumane it is, and to let people die. It's incredible. It's just that little difference. Killing Jews or killing their neshamas is no different, and it's worse. The Gemara says, what's worse, to kill a Jew or kill his neshama? Gemara says, it's worse than Nazis.
I agree.
Worse.
No,
right, so that's what it is.
This is getting very emotional.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but
I'm
it's
trying to keep it. I'm just trying to focus on one thing.
So that's what it is.
Like for example, I would tell you, as bad as Ehud Olmert is, okay, as bad as he is, and I don't agree with any of his policies, The population in Judea and Samaria has doubled.
Not because of him.
That's right, but it's doubled not under him.
Not because of him. I don't think it's doubled. It's not doubled in 3 years. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's not possible.
Because there are three times as many kids as the rest of the population.
Whatever. It's not because of him. So great. You know what? You know what that's like? Fine.
The reason people are sitting in yeshivas in Eretz Israel, in comfort, in Jerusalem,
not because of the Israeli government.
Is because there's an Israeli army, and because...
But it's not because they're trying to help them. You know what it is? It's from all the dollars that's coming from Chutz Laaretz.
It's not all the dollars.
They don't got no money there. They don't give them... They have much less than anybody else.
The economy of what's... The contributions...
It's not... You know what? Let me ask you a question. Yeah. We'll end with this.
Yes.
Did the Jewish population increase under Paro's reign of terror or not?
It increased.
Yes, not because of Paro, in spite of Paro.
I agree with
so
you.
So they don't give him any credit. Don't give him any credit. Hashem said, and to the degree that they hit them, so they increased.
All I'm saying is...
So, we owe debt to Paro. He was really a great guy, because under Paro, we grew.
Look, all I wanted to say is this, is that if the government were really Nazis, they would exterminate all the Jews.
When they'll have the chance, they'll do it. The only thing they're missing is opportunity. That's all. It's whatever's within... When we can take, you know, thousands of Ammonite kids and tell their parents that they were killed, that we can do. Whatever we can do, we can get away with, that's all. They don't yet have the chutzpah in there, but their goal is the same. Their goal is Yidden Rhein. That's their goal. They publicly said, I'd rather have an Israeli cow than a religious Jew in Israel.
And I'm just telling you, those people who you're talking about, unfortunately...
Okay, and they run the country, and the people are very glad to let them do it.
And all I'm going to say one last thing, since we're throwing all kinds
of
things.
Good.
As long as we're all sitting in the gullus and not living there...
Living there isn't going to change it. I'm sorry. Okay. Living there is not going to change it. Living with Hashem will change it. And you don't live with Hashem only in Eretz Yisrael.
Living with Hashem and living
there. No, you're making a mistake. We're not yet at the Zman HaMashiach yet.
That's what the
and a lot of people are living in Israel and they're not living with Hashem.
I agree.
They're living with the land. And a lot of religious Jews are living with the land and not with Hashem. So you gotta be careful. Fine, but that's not the solution. Living there is not the solution. The solution is gotta live with Hashem, and that's what's missing. That's what's really missing. Okay, anyway, thank you for that.